This lovely couple about to come into the hotel were very well dressed. They had on attractive, bright, expensive clothes and shoes. They seemed to be laughing and enjoying life as they got out of the car and began to walk toward the hotel. But there was something anxious about their behavior. There was a strange look on their face. Our man, sitting there in the lobby of the hotel, just looked at them as they were coming. He had nothing better to do than to watch and to wait as he was relaxing in his chair. And he watched them as they gingerly stepped into the lobby. And he noticed that even though they were obviously enjoying themselves, their eyes continued to kind of dart around the room as if they were looking for someone or they were looking for something. Are you with me? And he sat there relaxed and waiting, and he watched this attractive couple, and his mind began to wonder. Have you done that when you watch people? We were on a date night up in Pasadena, and we just sat and watched people, got in a little restaurant area, and we were remembering a date time that we had there in Pasadena. We actually bought the same thing. You ever been on a date and you didn't have a lot of money? So we remember one of those dates, and we had enough money to share some French fries and maybe a strawberry malt or something like that. But that was about all we had, and two movie tickets. And so we went back to the same place, and we just watched people go by, and we would imagine, do you think that person is happy? And people would literally come by, and they would talk to us. I remember the lady there, you remember that night with her dog? Her best friend was her dog. She would play with the dog and come in and talk to us and go back and play with the dog. Well, anyway, this man is here in the hotel, and he was watching this couple, very attractive, coming through the door, and he was just wondering. His mind began to wonder. Maybe they were waiting for someone, because as they were walking toward the hotel, their eyes were darting around. Maybe they were just at peace like he was as he was sitting there relaxing. And then he even thought maybe they would, if they're waiting for somebody, sit near him, and so they can share in small talk, and he could spend his time while he was waiting. This attractive couple, chatting and laughing, yet appeared somewhat to be looking around in a strange way, as if they were in a strange environment. They eventually made it to the door, and as they got to the door, they made eye contact with our man sitting in the lobby. Of course, our man smiled at them, right? He looked at them, he made eye contact, and they looked back at him. However, something was still very strange, and something was wrong. Even though they seem innocent enough, I mean, what could really be wrong with nice-looking people? How many of you know that you can look all right on the outside and be really messed up on the inside? Amen? But how could something really be wrong? They looked like they literally stepped out of a magazine, and we're getting ready to walk into this wonderful surroundings that our man was enjoying with the classical music playing in the background. And they looked at each other as if they were asking a silent question. He looked at her, she looked back at him. But then they walked over toward our man, and they held out their hand, having answered the question between the two of them. And they walked over, still looking around anxiously, not that they were looking for someone now. It became apparent, and it didn't seem like they were lost, but it really did look like something was wrong. Even though they were dressed well, bright matching colors, and everything looked right. They just looked like wonderful people, but something was off somewhere. And our man sat there enjoying the idea that you would come and shake my hand and help me go through the time period that I have to go through while I'm waiting for my friend. He was glad to have company, and especially company with such a powerful couple. They sat down and sat next to him, first asking, can we sit with you? Having agreed, coming in the door, looking in his eyes. And then the woman let out a very interesting sentence. The woman, in their small talk, she let slip in the conversation as she looked at our man. She said, you look like a pretty happy guy. Now, don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with the statement, but it's the way they said it. Are you following me? It's nothing wrong with saying you look like a pretty happy guy. And then there's another way you can say it, Like, you look like a pretty happy guy because I'm not very happy in my life. You could literally hear a tenderness in her voice. There was a brokenness, there was a longing in her sound and a desire in her tone when she said, "It looks like you are a pretty happy guy." She spoke of happiness as a woman who was not happy on the inside. Oh yeah, she looked happy on the outside, but on the inside something was missing. And of course, our man sitting there relaxed, really enjoying life in his beautiful surroundings, lofty ceiling, blue marble on the floor, people walking by. Our man answered back, "Of course, hey, I am a very happy guy. You are right, I am. I'm one of the happiest people on earth. I work with exciting people. I have good friends. My life is so, so good." Yes, you can say, "I am a happy guy." And then came the question that this beautiful couple was hoping no one would ask them, a question they were hoping never to hear. Our man looked back at them. "You asked me, am I a very happy guy?" Our man looked back at them and said, "How about you? How are things with the two of you?" The woman's face changed. She hesitated for a moment, and her voice grew shaky and soft. She was carefully weighing the power of every word, just gingerly letting a little information out a little at a time. She said, "Actually, I'm not doing so well right now. I'm not in a good place. I'm really having a tough time right now. I just want a break." Maybe this is why the two of them looked at each other to agree whether or not to come and sit and talk to our man, because there was something going on really bothering her. And maybe in their silent glances when they agreed and walked over to the man, that's what they agreed to share. Her man said almost the same thing. Her man said, "My life is in the pits right now." Wow. He said, "For a long time, I've been bored, I've been frustrated, I have pain most of the time, but I hide my frustration." He said, "I don't want anybody to notice my confusion, I don't want anybody to know what is really going on, but I really feel bad most of the time." Wow. Such a beautiful couple in such beautiful surroundings, what looked like everything going for them. And our man really felt bad for them because he really was having a good life. They were such nice people, struggling under such pressure, looking great on the outside, but falling apart on the inside. And our man said something that they were hoping he would not say. Our man looked at them and, feeling what they were going through, our man said, "With all the pain you are experiencing, I just can't imagine how the two of you are able to deal with such pressure." Our man said, "I can't imagine how all of this pain must be affecting your relationship and affecting your marriage, because the woman is in pain and the man is in pain." And again, there was that look, that strange look. I swear, their eyes darted around the room, and then they looked quickly at our man as if sizing him up, as if wondering if we can trust this man, our man. They looked like people who needed to talk to somebody. They looked like people who were dealing with things so heavy that they had to share it, but who could they trust? And so they looked at our man again, and they looked at him again, and they looked at him again. They looked at each other again as if sharing each other's thoughts. And then at the same time, they decided, "We got to tell somebody about what's causing us so much pain." Our man prepared to hear the worst. "Ah, it must be cancer. It must be the children on drugs. It must be son married to the wrong woman. It must be their parents are sick. It must be the loss of a job. Maybe, oh, I know what's wrong. Maybe they're having problems in their marriage. Maybe they're having problems loving each other because of the stress they were under." And boy, was he wrong.
It was the woman who spoke first. We should probably tell you we are married, but not to each other. And again, they looked at him for his reaction. This time, the attractive man started speaking. He said, "We are so happy with each other, but we're not here as friends. We actually came to this hotel to get away from our spouses and fighting for a long time. Today was the day that we were going to start this affair with each other." This explains now their funny looks and their strange behavior. And when the man spoke, you could literally see wrinkles forming in his face and sweat began to develop on his forehead. Our man sitting listening, oh, it's not cancer, it's not children, it's not parents. Our man sitting there listening, he began to pray. And his prayer was, "God, help me. Help me. You allowed me to be in this hotel so I would be available to speak to this couple. But God, I don't know what to say. What can I say to help this couple in a way that would encourage them to do the right thing?" Our man knew he was in the right place at the right time, but what could he tell them? Our man didn't know what to say, but after a desperate prayer for help, he began to open his mouth and tell our couple a story. He said, "You know, one day there was a woman. It was kind of in the middle of the day." They're listening. "Needed to get a cool drink. It was a very, very hot day. And then this woman slipped away from everybody in the middle of the day, rushing toward the town well to get her something to drink." Our man telling the story. "And she was there all along, all in the heat of the day. She didn't want to be bothered with a bunch of people getting all into her business. You see, she had a man in her life. She was, that was not her husband. They lived like husband and wife, but they really were not husband and wife. And this woman just got away to the well, and somebody else was there at the right place at the right time. Our man said Jesus was there at the well. And when the woman came along, Jesus did not turn to her to shame her. Jesus did not push her away because of her sin. That's not how Jesus works. But Jesus, in fact, stood by her and talked to her about the love of God." Our man told the story that Jesus, in the conversation, touched the woman so deeply that the woman admitted, "Hey, I'm living in an ungodly situation." She dropped her head. She stared at her feet. And she became more and more uncomfortable about having exposed who she really was and the bad choices she made. But right at that point, Jesus did not beat her up about her wrong choices. But yes, our choices get us into the mess we're in. Our choices lead us into problem connections. Well, we have problems with finances, problems with health, problems with ourselves, problems with others. But before Jesus can help us with all of our problems, he first has to focus us on what? The love of God that is so powerful, it gives you the strength to do what is right. And watch Jesus. You know the story, the woman at the well. Basically, in the story, Jesus said, our man talking to the couple, Jesus said, "I know all about your past. I know all about your mistakes. I know about your sleeping arrangements. You don't have to try and explain what I already know. But what is most important right now is that I came that you might know what I want you to know. I want you to know," Jesus speaking, "because of who I am. I want to bless you in spite of where you've been. I want to bless you in spite of what you struggled with. I want to bless you in spite of your present circumstances. I want to help you free of charge because I know I got the power to change your life and make it better. Ah, can you see what Jesus is doing with the woman at the well as the couple listened to the story? Jesus was literally covering her with care, covering her with acceptance, covering her with the love of God. And I can just imagine as the power of the love of God began to fill up her life, her eyes began to fill up with tears because she finally realized that now I am in a place where I can relax. Please hear me. I am not saying that any of these stories apply to anyone listening to me. I didn't tell the story to point out anybody's stuff. Amen. I shared them, listen, because I'm trying to tell you something about the heart of God and something about the love of God that very often the church even overlooks. I want you to know, no matter where you got stuck, the love of God is available to help you get unstuck. Your problem really didn't start until that day. You were riding on your little bicycle, and you were riding your tricycle, rather, on the sidewalk. You were following the rules, and then that person showed up. That tall person, I can't see his face, but he was tall and mean, and when he went away, he left you hurt and sad. And you got stuck. But someone else, you were doing fine until the day your son went swimming, and then something happened. You're not even sure of it today. They don't know exactly what happened, but he drowned around other people. He should not have drowned. You still don't know what happened. You don't know why he drowned, but ever since he drowned, you've been hanging your head down. You sit at home. You watch television. But you're really not watching TV. It's watching you as you grieve in silence. And then in the midst of your grief, while you're grieving, people have come to see you, saying they're there to help you. But instead of helping you, they're taking advantage of you. So you are stuck. Where you are, you cannot relax. You've even thought about giving up living, not caring anymore, not caring about anybody because it's too painful to care when you are stuck. I came to say no matter where you are stuck, God loves you. And God is not condemning you. God wants to help you have the greatest life possible. Please hear me again. I'm not saying the story applies to you. You can say, Pastor, I'm not having an affair. I'm not living with anybody. And what you're saying doesn't apply to me. I'm not saying it applies to you. I'm telling you the story because it says something about the love of God. Woman got five husbands and Jesus doesn't beat her up over the husbands. He get her unstuck so she can get a man in the right way. Ah, the thing I want you to get is our man in the hotels told the story to the attractive couple about the woman at the well so that they would know our God has unconditional love for everybody. I wonder if you believe in unconditional love. Love that loves you in spite of and even when you're not worthy to be loved. Do you believe in unconditional love? Jesus loves people who are tempted. Jesus has outrageous compassion for every person on earth, regardless of his situation. And he will grab you and cover up all of your failings, all of your faults. And trust me, our man telling the story, he had his own shortcomings, but he believed the power of God was available to lift you up to where your life really belongs. And I can hear somebody thinking, matter of fact, I thought it when I first heard their story. You know what was interesting? It was easier for me to accept the story of the woman at the well than to have a true life example of that in front of me. Isn't it easy to celebrate people in the Bible? But when I see you in the flesh, I can't hardly handle your mess. But I thank God that he's not distorted in his thinking about how he feels about you. Ah, he can deal with it. He can deal with it. I was thinking, what about their sins? What about their living arrangements? Well, guess what? I can tell you from the power of this story That the woman at the well changed her sleeping arrangements that night. Oh, I can tell you that for certainty, because I know, based on the power of this story, her man had to get another place that night as Jesus washed away her sins. Not only do we know it happened, I can tell you for certain that it will happen in your life if you give Jesus a chance to come in. How do I know it will happen? I know it because Jesus is, the Bible says, the light of the world. And when light comes into a dark situation, it changes everything. You put lights around the house so you won't stumble. You put lights around the house so you can see the devil when he's coming, amen. You have lights on at night so you can find your way. And since Jesus is the light of the world, once you let him in, he will help you with your sin problem and move the darkness out of the room. Somebody ought to say amen. Hey, when the light comes on, the darkness moves in Jesus' name. No, you don't believe me? Turn off the lights. Leave the stage lights on. You don't believe me? Turn these lights off and watch what happens when the light goes off. The light goes off on this side. The light goes off on the other side. And watch what begins to happen. Well, somebody said, turn it off. Where did the darkness come from, huh? Why are you sitting out there in the darkness? You're sitting out there in the darkness because you're not up in the light. But I bless God today. Turn it off, my brother. I bless God today that even in the darkness, the Lord knows where I am. But I can't move much right now. I'm afraid to move. I'm afraid to go to the right. I'm afraid to turn to my left. I don't want to stumble. I don't want to fall off the stage. I don't know who you are. The last time I looked at you, you looked like you were all right. But in the darkness, I can't tell if you're a gorilla or Godzilla. I don't know which one you are. But I thank God that Jesus, give me some light. Jesus comes along and he lights up my life. And then he begins to light up your life. And all of a sudden, everybody starts looking good and everybody starts looking all right. Why? Because Jesus is the light of the world. Now, did you notice what happened? We didn't run the darkness out. We simply turned the light on. Are you listening to me? Now, watch this. I can now handle all of the darkness that's hiding in various places in the room. I can now keep the devil under my feet. Oh, y'all are not listening to me tonight. The most important thing to Jesus is that you come to him so he can make you holy. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've said. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what drugs you have taken or not taken. Huh? Everybody didn't get high on drugs. We celebrate everybody's sobriety, but some people have never been towed up from the floor up. Amen? Amen. So whether you took drugs or not, whether you slept with people or not, whether you've been on ego trips or not, whether you've been a crooked business dealer or not, what matters most to Jesus is that you're willing to come to him so his love and his power can make a difference in your life. And Jesus starts with you right where you are right now. You allow him to embrace you and guide you through challenges that life throws at you. And he would take you on a path of progress. Jesus literally came to become your bridge. We spend most of our life trying to make a life. But can you imagine if I'm trying to build a life with the lights off? Can you imagine the confusion? No wonder I'm making mistakes. No wonder I'm all messed up. No wonder all of this kind of garbage is happening. I'm trying to do it in the dark. But Jesus comes along and he is the bridge to take me into the life that God has created me to have. And it's up to me to make a choice. To walk across the bridge that Jesus established with his love on earth so I would have the right to a brand new life. Here's the deal. God's invitation is tonight, no matter what you've done, No matter how far you've wandered away from God, no matter how far you have gone, Jesus is able to help. I remember a dear friend of mine, they would talk about people reaching bottom. He would reach bottom and dig another hole. He would get a backhoe. Next time we meet, we thought that was the bottom. He's gone below that. We said, what are you doing? Working on a new bottom? What do you mean? Why? You know? But no matter how far down he goes, the arm of God is available. The touch is life and pulling back. God's invitation right now is stop what you're doing and simply walk across the bridge. Jesus is saying, look, just come home. Come home. Here's the deal. You make a choice to walk across the bridge. Everything will be provided for you as you make that decision. But guess what? You have to make the decision. Since God is willing to forgive all of your sins and to give you a brand new life, let me ask you a question. Is there any reason why you can't accept him right now? If his deal is to you, I would take away all of your mess and give you a brand new life. I would treat you as if you've never gone wrong. Is there any reason why you won't accept him right now and just walk across the bridge into a brand new life? I want to ask you to stand with me if you would. And we're going to pray. And I want you to ask yourself the question, is there any reason? It's not your sins holding you back. It's not shame or condemnation. Jesus is not into that. But he wants to put his arms around you and invite you to come home. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your people who are standing here with us. In Jesus' name, we invite them to make a wonderful choice. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Make a choice for Jesus. Is there any reason why you cannot? Oh, I'm worried about friends and family. Guess what? You walk across the bridge, Jesus will turn the light on, and you will find that some folk you thought were friend in the dark really were your worst nightmare. Once the light comes on, a brand new family, brand new insight, brand new wisdom. And you want that. Is there any reason why? No, you can accept Jesus right now. And you can say, I want him in my life. If you would like to invite Jesus in to your life and receive the turning on of the light that will rush the darkness away, I want you to just raise your hand right where you are. Raise your hand. Say, I would love for Jesus to come into my life. Amen. Amen. Someone else. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Love for him to come into my life. And as he comes in with his light, he will chase the darkness away. That's my decision tonight. Amen. That's my decision tonight. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Chase the darkness away. Give me new thoughts. New dreams, new ideas. Give me back. Introduce me to my real self. That's your decision tonight. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. That's my decision. That's my decision. Raise your hand. Thank you, God, for every hand that has been raised. And thank you for those who should have raised their hands but did not. We thank you that you're not a God of condemnation. You're a God of love and grace. I thank you for brand new life that you're giving to your people. And you're making a difference in each one of them. I praise you and I bless you in Jesus' name. Let everyone say amen. Amen, amen. Let's bless God together. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. You may be seated. This is just the first part of our experience together. Three experiences with God Friday night, the bridge. On tomorrow at 11 o'clock, we'll be presenting some good news in a powerful way, showing you what God wants to do in your life. And I thank God for those who made a decision for him tonight. Amen. The light comes on, the darkness flee. I don't have to waste my energy chasing the darkness. I fight the good fight of faith and keep the light on. Ah, you got it? I look forward to seeing you in the morning. Let's bow our heads in benediction. Our Father, we thank you tonight for your grace, your mercy, and your love. We thank you for what you're doing in each life. Thank you for protection as we travel home. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen. Good night. I will see you tomorrow at morning at 11 o'clock. God bless you. Greet your neighbor before you leave.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the messages of the spoken word, studying to show yourself approved unto God, workmen who need not be ashamed. I trust God is really growing you into the mature Christian leader that he desires you to be. And I just feel it a privilege to be a part of that ministry in your life. I want to share with you an exciting opportunity and project that we're involved in. We are currently renovating our building in the city of Inglewood, California. It will be our ministry headquarters and an evangelistic center, youth training and motivational school. Souls will be won from that place, marriages saved and lives changed. It will be a center for God. The power of the Holy Ghost will be operational, and a lot of evangelistic activity will take place. We will have the kind of headquarters that will glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you personally and ask you to consider at this time to make a gift, a donation, monthly or a one-time gift toward the renovation of this particular property, and also to assist the ministry in its outreach. Your gifts will help us in a powerful way to be the kind of witness God has called us to be. And I'm sure you have understood from sharing with us and listening to the CDs and other downloads or however you have heard about our ministry, I'm sure you have benefited from that, and we want to make that available in the widest way possible. You can go to our website at www.solfellowship.com. That is www.solfellowship.com. There, you can go to click and pledge and make your donation and contributions right there, or you can get information with our mailing address and send it through the postage. I want to thank you so much. My heart is just overjoyed of sharing this time with you, and I look forward to hearing you. God bless. Be strong in the Lord. Take care.